So first of all, I just want to welcome all of you. I see some visitors. Thank you for coming out and spending this time with us. I would like to speak to you today on, can someone guess what we're going to be talking about today? Jesus. It's going to be, I mean, it's this time of year that we speak on Emmanuel. Can someone tell me who is Emmanuel? What does it mean, Emmanuel? God with us. God with us. And so, before I jump into the message, there's one more video that I want to show you. Please watch it and enjoy it.
From high above us, God sees. From far beyond us, God hears. From His eternal distant home, God loves. He sees all people in all places. And it's easy for us to imagine that He does so from this perspective. High, beyond, distant. But then, Christmas. It appears without earthly fanfare or celebration. The cry of this child screams that the same God who is above and beyond and distant has not only come close to us, but that He's indeed with us. So what if the name Emmanuel means what it means? Today, now, with us, the manger proclaims that the very presence of God is now present with us. In the mundane, in the uncertainty, in the mystery that lies beyond our understanding or explanation, God Himself is with us in our joy and our happiness. He's with us in our sadness and our brokenness. He celebrates in the light with us, and He holds us in the dark with faithful and secure arms. What if the name Emmanuel means what it means? Christmas not only begs that we ask that question, but also provides the answer that our hearts have been longing for all along. Can this possibly be? Yes, it can. And it is God with us, Emmanuel. And He's closer than our wildest dreams can ever imagine.
Oh, come, Emmanuel.
Now, when we speak of Jesus, we speak of a person that is able to change our lives, to change our reality, to change everything in our lives. And so today we come to this season and we are all busy, as I know you are, because, you know, there is dinners, there is, you know, food preparation, there is gift wrapping, and there is visiting with friends and the Christmas parties that you all go to. And it is all so busy, and we would enjoy all this time and it would be great. But if we miss the very meaning of what this season is all about, we would miss the whole thing. Will be just another season. And so Emmanuel, God with us, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I love this video. The person in the video is talking about, like, what if it's really that? I mean, it would change our life completely. Do you know that knowing that there's someone that is with you, it changes everything. Shakespeare said this, what's in a name? that which we call a rose by any other name would still smell as sweet. There was a story, and I love this story. I might have shared that before, but it points to how important the name is. Name Emmanuel, but even names. I mean, you have a name. Is there anyone here without a name? It doesn't matter what country we're from, what church we're from, we all have names. People know you by your name. People know you by your name. Now, there's so many people that, you know, sometimes the names are kind of doubled, right? So, like, in the church we would have, you know, we would have what, two Daniels, three Daniels? We would, you know, there's one Robbie that I know of in our, you know, church. But you know, sometimes the names are, you know, doubled up. However, there is a story of this young man who experienced the challenge of having a great name. Okay, and he was quite embarrassed at the end of the story. The story is about this young man who was in the army of the Napoleon himself. And he had this crazy idea to desert the army. He was a coward. To desert the army, to run away from whatever was going on. And he was caught. When he was caught, he was brought before Napoleon himself. And so Napoleon looks at that young lad and asks him this: "What's your name, son?" That young man said, with, you know, this, he was very scared. He said, "Napoleon, sir." And this great general looked at him sternly and said, "Change your ways or change your name." The name is important. The name is important. Our friend's oldest son's name is Emmanuel. You know, if someone at school would ask him, "Hey, what does your name mean?" Well, he would say, "Oh, God is with me." Wow, it's the coolest thing. You know, the kid would say, "God is with me." It's the coolest thing that you can have in school, high school, elementary school, whatever it is. God is with me. Now, it is single the most important piece of information or fact that human race has received. God is with us. Now, when you think about it, we are not alone. You know how NASA and, you know, people are just contemplating and trying to find some extraterrestrial existence out there. It's like, oh, are we alone? Are we, you know, or there's someone there? Well, I have the answer. I mean, God gave the answer. Emmanuel, God is with us. We are not alone. And I think that that changes everything. At least it changed things in my life, doesn't it? I mean, it changes things. When you know that you are not alone, you live differently. You do things differently. People that live with someone, for someone, they know that there's someone with them, they have different priorities. And so today, my challenge to you and me and all of us is that we would ponder and look and begin to live this fact, Emmanuel, God with us. That we would live every single day of this next year and the remaining of this year as if we know, in fact, God is with me. So every single moment, God is with me. You see, to those who believe, the name that is at the center of this Christmas story is life-changing. If I were to ask you, hey, this person that is at the very center of this season, did he change your life? I think most of us would say, wow, he changed my life completely. I am a completely different person. I was lost and now I'm found. I had so many difficulties and now I know how to go through them. You may not, you know, your schedule may not have been cleared and your difficulties may not have been taken away, but now you are with someone who can help you to walk through your life and you're not alone. Emmanuel, God with us. So the stars in the sky and the lights that you see today, all the decorations, all that is sparkling around us, it illuminates this one truth. Not any other truth, this one truth. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, and that means God is with us. So quickly today, I want to give you three truths. There's so many things that we can talk about, but three quick things. The fact that God is with us in good times. When things are good, God is with us. You know, I know at least in Polish culture, there's this saying, you know, when you're going through a tough time, then you run to God. Okay? But the truth is, it's probably true in every culture, right? When times are tough, you what? You automatically run to God. People think that it's their last resort. They think that maybe prayer is the last resort. So if you are tough, in tough spot, and times are tough, you're up against the wall, you do what? You pray. You run to God. But here's the truth. God is with us in good times. When things are prosperous, when things are going well, God is with us. God is with us in every experience, everything that is going on. And sometimes we omit that. We think, oh, when times are easy, then we don't need God. Then God is there, but He's not with us. He's not carrying us. And often that's what it means. So God knows what happiness is. Do you know that God knows what happiness is? And when we look into the eyes of parents or even grandparents, that I love, awesome. You look into the eyes of grandparents when they find out that they are going to become grandparents. Oh, their eyes are just whoosh, just amazing, amazing. And then there is the second time, third time, and then seventh time, and those eyes are just less open. It's like another one. Yay. Really, it is always joy. It doesn't matter which one, 7, 8, 10 grandchildren, it is always a joy. And God knows what that happiness is. You know, God has a son. God has a son, and in Luke we read that baby was born in Bethlehem, and he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus was real. Jesus is real. Not only that, he lived, he also is present here with us. So he was going through life situations just like you and I. He had good days, and he had maybe some tough days. He was 100% God and he was 100% human being. He was going through life. You know, God knows what it is to be popular. You know, in our society, you know, a lot of people want to be popular. Do you know that Jesus was very, very popular? He was so popular that often he would, the Bible says he would go to a secluded place to be alone because he was too popular. Thousands of people would follow him. There was one story when he spent time with 5,000 men plus women and children. The Bible says, and they gathered around him, and he gave him the spiritual food, and then he fed them, and he became so popular. The Bible says he became so popular that they wanted to make him king. And when Jesus heard that, when he knew that, do you know what he did? The Bible says that he quietly went up on the mountain, went away. Jesus knew what this, you know, being in the crowd and being popular and sometimes unpopular, he knew what it meant. He can relate to you today. But the point is that he would know, he knows what it means to be popular, to live in good times. He does know what it means. See, there is this very, very amazing truth. When Jesus saw that, when people wanted to make him so popular, he, He went away. How many of you, maybe you think of a moment in your life when people were just so high on you and so just popular, and you look back and it's like, I wish I acted a little bit different. I wish I acted just like Jesus. Just be humble and go on the mountain and pray. But Jesus knows what it means to live in good times. You know, this Christmas time, it also, or in Emmanuel, God with us, reminds us that that it's important to renew friendships. How many of you have had a friend that now you're just kind of in a distant, you know, relationship with them? Something might have happened, or maybe nothing, absolutely nothing, but you've just kind of drifted away, drifted apart. You see, so the cards that we receive, those cards remind us that there are people that care about us, that love us, that think of us. And likewise, when you fill out a card, please don't raise your hand if you have not filled out a card to give to someone. You still have a chance, right? Before Christmas. But here's the thing. When you fill out a card and you send it or you give it to someone, you say, hey, you know, you're important, and I think of you. I pray for you. So God also knows about this close fellowship with the friends. If I may say this, you know, God's son went to this one of his first miracles. Do you remember what it was? Turning water into wine at the wedding. Jesus went to the wedding. Jesus went to the wedding and he turned the water into wine. Jesus had friends. Jesus spent time with people. Jesus seems to have taken even great pleasure at the supper at Bethany, and with his friends Mary, Martha, Lazarus. These were good friends to Jesus. One of his last acts here on this earth, he spent his time with whom? With his disciples. These were his friends. What did he do? He had supper with them, which we now call the Last Supper, but they spend time together. It is important for you and I to renew some of the friendships that maybe we have had and now we drifted away. Christmas is it's a perfect time for that. Jesus treasured these friends that he had. So may I say something very, very obvious today during Christmas? Treasure your family. Treasure the people that are in your life. Now, here's the truth. Sometimes you may not agree. Sometimes there may be some, you know, friction and some sparks. But these are your family members. These are your friends. You care for them. You love them. You spend time with them. Repair the relationships. Build friendships again. This is a special thing that Jesus left us, to be able to have friends, to be able to be with people. It is special. So renew relationships in a new and special way. So God knows what happiness is. Emmanuel, God with us. Also, the truth is that his presence will always make a difference. Do you know that when Jesus comes into your life, he always makes a difference? There is no neutrality with Jesus. Jesus will, when he comes to your life, you will feel different. He will make you act different. He will make you say things, or he will make you to keep your mouth closed, quiet. Jesus makes a difference in our lives, and perhaps in this season, it's people not always welcome him because they realize that when he comes to their lives, he will make a difference. He will make a difference. He will make a difference in the way you use your influence with your friends, with your families, with the people that you know. He is very demanding sometimes as to how we act, what we say, and how we conduct ourselves. So do not take Emmanuel, God with us, lightly. He is with us all the time. You know, sometimes we say things because we feel, oh, you know, God is at a distance somewhere. But would we act the same and say the same things when we would know that Jesus is standing here with us in person? Would we say the same thing? Would we act? Would we react the same way? Oh, no, but Pastor Dan, you know, it's different. Well, it's not really if we believe that Emmanuel, God, is with us all the time. It is. He's always with us. So his presence makes a difference. Secondly, Emmanuel, God with us in hard times, in difficult times. And so it's fun to live in good times, in prosperity, when everything is going good and you have all the friends and great relationships and you have enough money to last you another month. All that is, you know, and health is good and all that, and it's great. But there are times in our lives when it's hard, when it's difficult. And when we say Emmanuel, God with us, and so we may see it in hardships as well. There was a story in the Old Testament of a man who has seen really, really difficult times. And so in the 8th century, Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem while Ahaz was king of Judah. And so they wanted to conquer him. And Ahaz was afraid. Has something maybe happened in your life when a portion of your life, or maybe even right now, is ruled by fear? There was something that happened in your life that you were gripped by fear. And so as soon as Ahaz heard this news, he was petrified. He was afraid. And so the prophet writes, "So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken." Has there been a time in your life that you have been shaken? Shaken, and even sometimes you feel paralyzed. You can't move forward. You don't know what to say, what to do. You don't know what your next step is going to be. Hardships, difficult times. Ahaz is going through difficult times, and Isaiah 7 verse 2 says, "So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken," and he even describes how. "They were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind." That's how they were influenced. And so the Lord God sent Isaiah to the king to quiet his fears. Isn't that amazing that when God knows that you're going through a difficult time and there is fear in your life, God always will respond. He always hears you and he always sees you. And so he sends Isaiah the prophet to calm the fears. And he told him to take his son, Jeshub, along for the journey. And the son's name was "A Remnant Will Return." So he challenged the king's faith. I don't know your situation today, but maybe your faith needs to be challenged today. It needs to be challenged. And here's what it says in verse 9. "If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all." Friends, today, my job is to encourage us to have faith, even in this time. God wants you to have faith. And then he spoke through the prophet to Ahaz, and he says, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign." And of course, the king didn't want to tempt the Lord for asking a sign, but the prophet said, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will name him Emmanuel, God with us." He needed to remind him that in whatever situation he is in those difficult times, God is with you. And Ahaz needed to hear that in that moment. God is with you. And we can't just say, you know, last Sunday we were talking about, you know, this when we pray, we say, Lord Jesus. Well, Lord is not just a name. So we don't call Jesus by two names, Lord Jesus. It's a title. And that title comes with certain authority. So when you pray next time, don't say, Lord Jesus, and because often I've made that mistake in my life that I think, oh, it's his name, it's Lord Jesus. But it's actually a title that carries so much authority. And so here he talks about Emmanuel, and the message is the message to Ahaz in trembling fear was simple, and this is very straightforward. God said, look, Emmanuel, the son will be born. Emmanuel, God is with you through everything that is going on. So even those two kings are coming up against your kingdom, don't worry. God is with you. In your life, when you feel outnumbered, in your life, when you feel that you lack wisdom, when you lack, you know, good judgment and faith, don't worry. God is with you. God is with you in everything, in sorrow. God knows what sorrow is. God knows exactly what sorrow is. You see, it is from the perspective of the Father, and for those of you that are parents, you know what it is. And especially when you experience, okay, this may be a situation when you see that your child is rejected. You know, in school, bullied, or rejected by friends, or by a group, or something, it hurts. It hurts. It feels like they are, like, what do you mean? This is my child. He is perfect. At least that's what I think of my children, right? But just, why would you reject him or her? God looking down from heaven, here's a big story in a nutshell. He gives his son to come to pay the price for the creation that he has made, and they reject him. God knows what sorrow is. God knows what rejection is. He can identify with you. He can relate to your situation. In the last hours, when Jesus' need was the greatest. Do you know what? His loneliness was the greatest. He was alone in Gethsemane. He was crying out. The Bible says that his tears were like drops of blood. He was going through agony. Imagine his father is looking down, and that's his son going through all that. Again, God knows what sorrow is. He can relate to your situation. Jesus was obedient to his heavenly Father. It is because God has known such deep sorrow that we count his blessings in sorrow, his presence in sorrow a blessing. So next time you go through a sorrow, next time you go through a difficult time, know this, God is with us. God is with you, Emmanuel, because he knows exactly what you have gone through. God is still around you when your friends have left you. God is still around you when your family has denied you. God is still around you when you're at work. You are experiencing hardships, and it may feel like, oh my goodness, this adversity is bigger than I can ever imagine. Just say this, Emmanuel, and have faith. Stand on that promise. God is with me in everything, good times and bad times as well. So even those who have completely ignored God for a long time. I've heard stories. I've seen things like that. People have ignored God for the longest time. They come back to God. Do you know that he always embraces them? Always has his arms open and say, hey, it's about time. But he doesn't show you, oh, what do you mean it took you too long? What do you mean you misbehaved? And no, he embraces you because he loves you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And so maybe you are here today and you have drifted away from God, and this is just about the time that maybe you, or maybe you know of someone, or maybe it's you today that you have drifted away from God and you came to church just because it's Christmas time. You know, I go to church during big holidays and stuff. Here's the thing. You are not here by mistake. God is with you, and He is, His arms are open, and He's welcoming you and says, just about time. I love you. What happened, happened. Let's move forward together. I am with you. And so, Emmanuel, God with us. And the last thing I want to share with you today, and then we'll sing one more Christmas carol and conclude this awesome, awesome service, is this, that Emmanuel, God with us in opportunity. Do you know that every single day you have opportunities? Do you know that even if you think that your life is the most boring or mundane or just same, you still in those steps in everything that you live, in every day, there is opportunities for you. There's opportunities for good or bad. There's opportunities. You make those opportunities. And so God is with us in opportunity if we will allow Him to be there with us. Now here's an awesome thing about God. He is not going to force His way onto whatever situation in your life. He's not like people. We were created in His image, not God in our image. We are often, as people, we tend to, you know, just overshadow and tell people what to do and all that. God is not going to do that. God is going to make His point clear and say, hey, I'm there if you need me, but you need to choose that. So you need to allow that. And so God is with us in opportunity. So His son, okay, saw an opportunity in Samaria. Do you remember the story? There was a large opportunity, and there was a woman at the well. In the bigger context, Jesus wasn't even supposed to speak because of the cultural differences. They were not even supposed to speak to each other, let alone him to her. Oh my goodness. And yet Jesus broke that completely. Broke that, and he saw a great opportunity. What opportunity? Well, because of what he has done, the whole village, the Bible says, they heard the good news. And so here's the thing. Till the end of this year, or even next year, you will have opportunities every single day that will not look like much. They will not look like great on silver platter. Here is your opportunity. Wouldn't it be easier? Like when your opportunities would be announced and it would be like, hello, tomorrow, Monday, at 1 o'clock will come a great opportunity to you. You would get ready. You would be like, oh yeah, you know, great opportunity. You know what? Opportunities in our lives don't come like that. They come often like at the well, that it's just, it wasn't even appropriate for Jesus to speak to her, yet he breaks that and he speaks to her. He forgives her sin. She is asking for water and he gives her the living water. Your opportunities in your lives will not come announced. They will come unannounced. They will be there, but you need to recognize them. And when you have Emmanuel in your life, you will be able to recognize them. Jesus changed her life. He responded to that opportunity. Now, His presence in us reveals those opportunities. Now, here's the thing. You know, coming to Jesus and giving our lives to Jesus is just the first step. Then we grow in the Lord. We develop, we mature in the Lord. And then we begin to open, our spiritual eyes are open, and we see the opportunities in our lives every single day. The closer you are to Jesus, the more you are sensitive to the opportunities that are being presented to you in your life. Our vision is keener. you think better when you're close to Jesus. Your prayers open doors that have been shut before. If you do pray, if you pray that it will be an opportunity to serve others and not yourself. When you pray, and we will have a week of prayer, we're going to pray that God, please use us, give us opportunities to be a blessing to others, to make a difference. If you do pray, pray that the opportunity, if you want that opportunity, will clarify your witness for God, and you will not receive glory to yourself. If you think about it, it's not an easy thing to do. No opportunity that glorifies self or dims our witness for God is a God-given opportunity. Let me just say this. If you are recognizing an opportunity and you want to hijack it and you want it to be, oh, it's all about me. It's not a God-given opportunity. Or maybe it is, but we are turning it into our own thing. We need to be careful because, you see, everywhere we go, everything we do, there is a God-given opportunity in our lives. And if I may ask the team to come back, and we will conclude this service. So keep your eyes open to see the opportunity when it comes. Paul, when he was traveling, he would say, oh, and there was a great opportunity. Or the doors of great opportunities have opened, but the opposition was great. Now, here's the thing. In your life, when you see the opportunity, know this, that there might be opposition. God's opportunity in our lives doesn't mean zero opposition. God's opportunity in our lives means that sometimes there will be an open door and you have to walk through it, but there will be opposition. So if I may encourage you, look, Emmanuel, God with us, and if God is with you, who can be against you? But the thing is, when you walk through this door of open opportunity, there might be some people that might be against you. You need to check your heart. You need to be saying, God, is this you? Is this, are you opening this door for me? Because I don't want this to be all about myself. I want it to be all about you. God's presence with us changes opportunity. And this is probably the single most important thing right now that I will say in this last 20, 25 minutes that I've been talking. So I hope we will all, including me, walk out understanding this. God's presence with us changes our opportunity into responsibility. Because all of a sudden, your opportunity is there, but then it's up to you if you're going to act on that opportunity. And it becomes a responsibility. When we realize Emmanuel, God with us, we recognize His presence in the Bible says, the least of these. The people that need Him so much, or need maybe even a sandwich, or just 5 minutes, spare 5 minutes with someone. You recognize that. And when this halo of responsibility shines around these opportunities, it's a God-given moment. It's a God-given time. And so, here's my advice. Listen to and you know, appreciate all the young people that are around us, all the seniors around us, all the lonely people around us. And usually they will not announce that, hey, I'm lonely, I need time with you, or I'm craving time with someone. We need to see that opportunity. The closer you are to God, you will be able to recognize that. When you see responsibility in these opportunities, then you are near this reality. Emmanuel, God with us. Because you see, Jesus, again, takes us back to, He makes a difference in your life. Your influence will be different. You will be different. So this opportunity will turn into a responsibility that with a smile on our faces, we will be able to go through. And so God has seen everything, the misfortune on this earth. He enjoyed good times, and he walked through just some really hard times. And so he is Emmanuel, God with us, from our youth days to our old days, and everything in between has to be saturated with this fact, Emmanuel. From the very moment you were born to the very moment when we will walk off this earth, it has to be saturated with this knowledge. God is with us. That is my prayer. In good times and in bad times, let's see those opportunities. If you're able to, please stand and we will just sing one more song and give glory to God. Again, I thank you for coming out. I pray, you know, blessings on the churches, on everyone here. We wish you Merry Christmas. I wish that this sermon, the thoughts would be just saturated in this season, that it will not be just about the meal and the time together, but it will be about Jesus. So let's sing this together. Have a merry, merry Christmas. God bless you.